We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans. And I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, reading, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." This morning I'd like for us to look at justification. There are many thoughts on this subject, and many of them are not consistent with Scripture. Many think justification is an event in one's life that happens when one is saved. Salvation comes in the aorist tense. It's an event. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And in this verse here, we see that the word justification is a present active participle. Now, the participle is a noun, but what it is a verb that's in the present tense that has been changed to a noun. And this verse tells us that justification is an ongoing thing. The present tense would be graphed as a line. The aorist tense is graphed as a dot. And so therefore, justification is an ongoing thing in a believer's life. And justification has to do with whether or not we can be charged for sin or that we are clean. I believe that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, we are justified. We are not chargeable. If we sin and we continue to sin, we will be charged and have to give an account for our unconfessed sins at the judgment seat of Christ. That's reading why it says in Hebrews chapter 10, if we sin willfully after we have received the deeper knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for that sin. And if there's no sacrifice for that sin, then you have to bear the consequences of that sin. And you see that over and over again in the Old Testament. The fellow picking up sticks on the Sabbath, he was stoned to death. Why? Because there was no sacrifice that he could offer at the tabernacle altar that would forgive that sin. And so therefore, he was stoned to death, and he didn't lose his salvation, he just lost his inheritance. So, justification. It's interesting to note that that justification is not found in the perfect tense, except three times. Once in Luke, once in Romans, and once in 1 Corinthians. And none of those events, or none of those passages of Scripture, have to do with salvation. And I didn't include those verses in our notes. I can only get so much material on four pages. I can be glad to help you with that. But the point is this. The perfect tense tells us, in fact I put it in here, expresses the result of the action that continues to exist in the present. It's like salvation. For by grace ye endure, having been saved. Ephesians 2:8. The word saved is in the perfect tense. That means we were saved in the past, and that salvation continues to the present. That's why I believe that once you're in the family of God, nothing can change that. had a fellow call me on the phone this morning trying to get my feathers ruffled and telling me that I'm teaching a bunch of lies. He didn't have any concept about what I was teaching. He just didn't believe the Bible and so forth and so on. And he says, I think that a lot of people in churches are going to be shocked when it's all said and done. I says, I believe you're right. And I said, and I believe you're going to be shocked too when you find yourself in the lake of fire, even though you don't believe it. But you know what he used? He used a term, and I know that he'd been exposed to something. He says, do you believe in eternal security of the believer? I knew that he'd heard something. Well, the perfect tense tells us the security of the believer. You believe, and you're saved, and that salvation event continues to the present. And so, we need the grace of God to endure. Ephesians 2:8 has to do with endurance, not salvation. And the only way you can get grace is by faith. And so that's what faith modifies in that verse. It modifies the grace that we need to endure having been saved. Because the word saved is a perfect passive participle. Now, justification is, or the justified are not chargeable. If you're justified, there will be no charges brought against you at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what we're preparing for. We're preparing to stand in His presence, and either we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or we're going to hear, I know you not, depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. It says iniquity in the King James. It's actually lawlessness. And so we're preparing ourselves to stand in His presence and be able to stay there. Because there are going to be people that are going to come into His presence and be asked to leave. And the justified are not chargeable. And justification is a continuing process. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I wanted to bring this out, that we are justified by faith. And by the way, the law was given to not lost people, but saved people. And the saved people are those that are being brought unto a knowledge of Christ, which is a knowledge of the truth pertaining to His coming kingdom. And because Christ is the anointed or the Messiah, and that we might be justified. In other words, when I learn and appreciate what Jesus Christ stands for as far as His coming kingdom is concerned, it gives me incentive to be justified. Because if I'm just in His presence or justified in His presence, I will be included in His coming kingdom and glory. If I'm chargeable, I will be excused from entering the kingdom. And this justification is on the basis of faith. And this is faith that is continued. Justification, or faith, is not an event. Faith is a noun. Faith does not have a mood or a mode. And so therefore, you cannot take the word or the noun faith and determine if that event ever happened, which is not an event anyway. It's simply, in fact, the word faith is an abstract noun. An abstract noun is a noun, or is a noun that cannot be sensed by the feelings. You can't touch, you can't smell, you can't hear faith. It's an abstract noun. But what it does is it presents values and qualities in the individual's life. Faith produces hope. And hope changes our lifestyle. And the hope that we have by faith is that we can please Him by faith and have glory in His coming kingdom. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, The Lord wants to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And this will happen if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is the hope of glory. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave Him glory so that our hope would be in God the Father as well. He'll raise us from the dead and give us glory in His coming kingdom. And of course, we appreciate the fact that Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Faith is the ingredient, or is the catalyst, in the chemistry equation that helps us to please God. Titus chapter 3, verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, or age-lasting life, or life for the kingdom age. And I want us, and I included this so that you can see that justification is on the basis of His grace. And what is grace? Well, grace is the power of Christ. Justification is based upon His power to cleanse us, and by His grace. And one of the things that we need to see and understand is for us to be justified by His grace, we have to continue in His grace. Did you know you can fall from grace? Galatians 5:4 tells us that we can fall from grace. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It just means that you're not serving God acceptably anymore. Because Hebrews tells us, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Paul and Barnabas were preaching and teaching, and as they left the service, he says, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And that's something that we have to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God. And to and one way to persuade you to continue in His grace is to remind you that we're justified by His grace. We will stand in His presence approved rather than disqualified or disapproved. In Galatians chapter 2, to me, this is one of the most important verses on this subject. This is very important. Knowing that a man is not justified, present passive, in other words, being justified, by the works of the law, and I put the word alone in there, because that's what this is talking about. God is not for the lawless. And so the works of the law in this passage of Scripture has nothing to do with the ceremonial law, but with the moral law. If you're good and you're obedient, that does not justify you. Because it's the just that do what? Live by faith. So the two have to go together. But you can't do one or the other, and we'll see that in just a moment. James says you can't do it by faith alone, and Romans tells us you can't do it by works alone. And so there is a harmony. It takes both. Now we'll look at it here. But through the faith of or from Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. What happens when you believe in Jesus Christ? You're born from above. You're born into the family of God. And this word believe is aorist. It's the same tense as the verb. It's found in Acts 16:31 when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is active. It means that Paul and those with whom Paul was with and to whom he was writing, they did the action of the verb believe. And the indicative mood tells us that there is no doubt about it. Actually, while that's emphasis on the verb, there's mood, but in faith there is no mood. You don't know whether, if you're trying to make faith a verb, There's no way to tell whether that word ever took place or not, because there's no mood in a noun. Okay? Now let's go on. They believed in Jesus Christ. They got saved. Now, the next phrase is the important part. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Did you know that salvation does not make you justified? It just simply gets you into the family. Then you might be justified in His presence, or you might not. If you live by faith, you're going to please Him, and you're going to be justified. You're going to be clean. You're going to be right when you stand before Him. That's the reason why the word might is in this verse. The word justified is aorist passive subjunctive. The subjunctive mode tells us that there's a possibility of failing. And sure, it's a possibility of failing, because we can depart from the faith. We can make shipwreck of the faith. We don't continue in the faith, we will not be justified. I'll show you that in just a moment here. And not by works of the moral law. Because let me say this, the ceremonial law was nailed to the cross. Even though Peter practiced some of the ceremonial law, we were looking in his event with Cornelius, the saved Gentile, where Peter came and preached to him the kingdom message. And Cornelius believed it. And he received the gift. And but Peter made the comment, he says, you know, fellas, it's not lawful for me, a Jew, to be down here with you bums. He didn't say it quite that way, but he did say it was not lawful for me, a Jew, to be with you Gentiles. That's the ceremonial law. That's the old law of Moses. That was nailed to the cross. That's no longer an issue. And so the moral law is an issue. Let me tell you, you can't live in adultery and boast of living by faith. Can't do that. You've got to be just. Okay, let's go on. For the works of the moral law alone shall no flesh be justified. If all you've done is be obedient, and you haven't pleased God at all by living by faith or trusting Him, you won't stand approved in His presence. Now, I guess I jumped ahead a little bit here, because I am giving you the verse where Peter was boasting about or commenting about the fact that I shouldn't be here. And that's in Acts 10:28. And Peter said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with one of another nation. That's the ceremonial law. That's being ceremonially clean. That's what Peter was saying to them. And Peter was still struggling with the fact that the Gentiles could hear the message of the kingdom. Did you know that Peter learned well what Jesus taught His disciples? Don't go in the way of the Gentiles or into any city of the Samaritans. Peter learned that well. And he resisted until the Lord says, you go down there and don't you ask any questions. That's what the Lord told him in Acts 10. You get down there to that man's house and you don't ask no questions. You just go and present the truth. Now, being justified by grace, we have already presented that, but it says in Romans 3:24, being justified, present passive participle, freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let me just point out the fact that redemption is not salvation. When you go back to the Old Testament, from which we get the truths pertaining to New Testament truth, redemption is a family matter, where, like in the case of Ruth, Ruth was redeemed. But you know what it took to redeem Ruth? A near kinsman. You got to be a kinsman. You got to be in the family. Redemption is in the family. Redemption is a family matter, not a get into the family matter. Okay? So we are being justified by His grace, And how can we be justified by His grace? Well, we access the grace by faith. That tells us that in Romans chapter 5. We have access to this grace by faith, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And faith accesses this grace that allows us to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. Now, He is justifying those by faith, Romans 3:26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier, present active participle, of him which believeth in Jesus. Now the word believeth does not reflect the fact that this is a noun and not a verb. It's something interesting that I've shared here before many times. Whenever you see the word believeth with E-T-H on the end of it, it is a present active. It's in the present active. It's a present active. Believeth means it's in the present tense. Anytime you see E-T-H on the end of the word, check it out. It's in the present tense. It's something that we need to be doing all the time. Now this word believeth here is a noun. It's faith. And so He is a justifier of them which are of faith in Jesus Christ. Confidence in Him. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, we see that the word believeth and the word faith are synonymous. The present active participle believe is a noun, and faith is a noun. Now let's read Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, the word worketh is a present middle participle. And when you see the word middle voice, that means that you're working for yourself. And to him that worketh for himself, or not worketh for himself, in other words, I'm not doing this for myself, I'm doing it for the glory of God, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. The word believeth is a present active participle. On him that justifieth, that's also a present active participle. He's the one that is cleansing us over and over again. The ungodly, and the ungodly, let me tell you, there are saved ungodly people. There are lost ungodly people. Just being ungodly does not determine your salvation experience. You look at Solomon. In the latter years of his life, was he a godly man? No. He worshiped the idols of the people that God kicked out, Moloch and other ones. He was an ungodly man, but there was a time when he was a godly man. But anyway, it is the ones believing in the present tense that are being justified. And it says his faith is counted for righteousness. Because faith is in this verse, and it is reference to his faith, to being counted righteous, which has to do with justification. And I equate believeth, or believe as a present active participle, equivalent with the noun. Because a participle is a noun. It's a verb used as a noun. And there's no mood in participles either. There's no mood. Again, I want to remind ourselves that we are saved by believe. Only believe to be saved and not faith. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe, aorist active, on the Lord Jesus and Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What am I saying here is this. You get saved by the verb and you live by the noun. You get saved by the verb believe and you live by the noun faith. That's the distinction between the two. Now, in Galatians 3:1, it takes both. No man is justified, present active, in the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. If you're going to be justified, you need to be just. You need to be obedient. And you need to please God. Live by faith. In Romans 3:28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, this verse gave me some difficulty for a good while. How can I be justified by faith and without being obedient to the law? How can I be immoral and be justified? What I found out was this. The word without is the Greek word chorus. And this word is also translated in addition to. And that's not according to John White. That's according to the Greek lexicons. You just look up in any of the lexicons, Greek lexicons, and you'll find that this word is also translated in addition to. So we're justified in addition to being obedient to the moral law. Now let me show you what I mean. What does it mean to be subject to the moral law? In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and they were both, this is talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, were both just. King James translates it righteous, but it's the word dikaios, just, before God. Both Elizabeth and Zacharias were just before God. Why were they just before God? They walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And this word ordinance is not a very happy translation. In fact, it's the same word found in Revelation 19:8. This word should be translated righteous acts. In Revelation 19:8, it was the righteous acts of the saints that provided the bride her clothes. That's what Revelation 19:8 is all about. Zacharias were just. Why? Because they were obedient to his commandments and they walked in righteousness. And we need to do the same thing. So, it takes both. It takes being just and it takes living by faith. And in James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? I think we talked about this in Sunday school. Martin Luther said that the epistle of James is an epistle of straw. He couldn't reconcile faith and works, because what James tells us, it takes works. Romans tells us it takes faith. But when you examine a little closer, it takes works of righteousness and faith desiring to please God. Now we'll look at it here. Abraham was justified by works. How? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. That was the work. He trusted God would raise him from the dead. Because he knew that this was going to be the heir of his heir. And by the way, this took place a long time. It took place 25 years after he left Haran. He'd already had fellowship with the Lord. This was not a salvation event for Abraham. This was a justifying event, and he had other justifying events in his life as well. So, seeing that thou hast faith wrought with his works, of seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works of obedience was faith perfected, or made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham, already saved, believed God, Genesis 15, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. This imputing to him for righteousness has to do with being justified, not saved. Genesis 15 is many years after Genesis 12, actually in Genesis 11, when Moses, or when Abraham and the Lord got together. And the Lord says, hey, I got some land over here, you got to see. And he took him and brought him into the land of Canaan. Now, it was counted to him for righteousness, for he was called a friend of God. Verse 24, ye see, present active, then how that by works of obedience a man is justified, present passive, and not by faith only. And you can translate that word only alone. You're not justified by faith alone, and you're not justified by works alone. It takes both. It takes both. Not to get saved. We're not talking about salvation. You believe the verb to be saved. You stand in his presence approved by being obedient and pleasing him. Okay? Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Future active. Future at the judgment seat. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather. Now, what's more important than his death right now in this passage of Scripture? Well, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he says that it is finished. The plan of salvation for all of mankind was completed. He then shed his blood, and then he rose from the dead. And it is significant what Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead accomplished. It accomplished what his death could not. And we'll see that in just a moment here. He has risen again, and he's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, he wouldn't be at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We wouldn't have the help that we need to please him and to serve him. Okay? Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We thus judge that if one died for all, how many were dead? All dead in their trespasses and sins. So, Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised for what? Justification. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, we wouldn't have a chance to be clean, because there would be no high priest at the right hand of the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:17 through 20. Because Christ is risen, what are the blessings? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. What does that mean? If Christ be not raised, I can live by faith and it doesn't do a thing. It doesn't please God. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's a waste of time. But because he is risen, we're not in our sins. We can be delivered from the bondage of sin because of his grace and power at the judgment, at the throne of grace. Okay? Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, you're saved. And what does it mean to perish? It means that you don't have an inheritance in the heavenly kingdom. That's what it means to perish. It doesn't mean to go to hell. The man who picked up sticks on the Sabbath, he perished. He lost his inheritance. He couldn't go home. He couldn't go see his land anymore. He was saved. He was a Jew. He was in the family. But he didn't have his inheritance. And that's what it means to perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 33, it says, God fulfilled the same unto us their children. What was this that He fulfilled? The promise. That's found in verse 32. And that promise is age-lasting life, 1 John 2:25. You can check that out. And He fulfilled that promise. By the way, this is a promise with a definite article V before it, and it's singular number. It is talking about a specific promise. Not all the promises of God, but a particular promise that has to do with life for the kingdom age. And how did He fulfill that? In that He hath raised up Jesus Christ again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. Now what does that mean? This day have I begotten Thee. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest. But He that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten Thee. As He said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's what it means. He fulfilled the promise through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how we can enter into that promise and rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ has become an high priest of what? Good things to come. He is preparing us as our high priest for good things that are coming. What good things are coming? Verse 15 of Hebrews 9. And for this cause He is a mediator of the New Testament, that they which are called unto His kingdom and glory might receive the promise. Notice that it's might receive. No guarantee. Subjunctive. That they might receive the promise of the age-lasting inheritance. Your inheritance is not a guarantee. You can forfeit your inheritance. Now, I will close with a couple of verses. Jude 1:24. It's a good benediction, but I've got another verse after that, okay? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. This word able has to do with power, dunamis. It's a verb. It's present passive. He has the power to keep you from falling if we will let Him keep us from falling. You don't have to let Him do that. You don't have to experience His grace. All you have to do is ignore the throne of grace where the power of Christ is administered. And He has the power to keep us from falling and to present us unchargeable, faultless, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. What are we looking for? A well done. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. May the Lord help us to keep our slate clean. And we do that by confession of sin. And we do that by reading the Bible. This is walking in the light as He is in the light. This is having fellowship with Him. And you know what? If we do that, His blood's going to cleanse us. So if you're not reading your Bible every day, I'd encourage you to do that starting today. The benefits and the blessings, I can't tell you what they are. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of us, that we might stand in Your presence approved and hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. We thank You, Lord, that You're faithfully interceding on our behalf. Not only did You make it possible for us to be part of Your family, You made it possible for us to live a victorious life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank You for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.